And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. And we're talking about beyond the gratitude. What are you grateful for this holiday season? As we already started with Thanksgiving and Black Friday, so many of you went shopping. We even want to hear about that experience. Did that take away from time you could have spent with your family? Or did you do it as a family? And was it a positive or negative experience? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. I have my co-host here for the day, Sam Dowling.
Hello.
And we're talking about gratitude. We've had some intense conversations, even some that seem very gloomy and depressing and challenging. Yet there are things to be thankful for during this time of year. We're going to continue on with our phone lines. Before I do that, though, I do want to encourage you, if you've not done this already, to get on Facebook and like our page, Marriage Beyond the Vows, on Facebook.com. So it's Facebook.com/Marriage Beyond the Vows. And get in on the conversation. We're going to go in a few minutes and talk about what you are writing there and what so many others are posting in terms of our comments and conversations there. But we are going to go to another caller here on line 4, Dee, who is calling in from Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Dee. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, Marcus. Wow. Today's show was so unique.
It's interesting, right? You know, sometimes you think it's going to be light and ends up being heavy.
Marcus, you know what? I believe it was a learning experience for all of us. Mm-hmm. For all of us. It was real unpredictable as the calls came in because, you know, a lot of times people are in a hurt and inhaling process.
Mm.
And they were just calling in and just sharing. And I want to encourage the lady that sung the song. I just want to encourage her to keep her hope, health, and strength in the Lord.
Yes.
And to stay in on the right track, and he is the right track.
Right.
But I had a little problem, Marcus. I had to call in and be honest.
Okay.
About the lady that called in about her daughter and her husband.
Yes, the one that actually is working on taking her husband back. That's pretty intense.
Now, Marcus, I'm not going to lie.
I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say.
You think she's lost her mind, right?
Don't get it twisted. I know that God is, he forgives, mm-hmm. and he can change people. We all know that by our personal experience. But the part about, I didn't know, the part about the what he did with the child,
mm-hmm.
that's the part that of course, had probably bothered so many of us. But can she really trust him? Is he a pedophile? Like, I'm just having a problem with that. I know God can change people and God can forgive them, but that's like, isn't that like betraying her daughter?
Absolutely.
That's just so confusing. It's confusing to me. Not that God can't change them and not that God can't forgive them, but I'm just being honest. I would not be in a relationship with him again because he did that to her daughter. How can you trust him? How do you know he's not going to do that to another child?
And I think that's the challenge. However, without going into much detail, it seems like he got to the point where he did admit it. And I think what she's doing is very noble, but it's also wise. I mean, she's not naive. She's saying, listen, he's never going to be in there in the same house, under the same roof with my daughter, but he's still my husband. So, I mean, can you fault her for wanting to work on her marriage? You know, God is a forgiving God, and it sounds like even the daughter is working through it, but that relationship will never be the same.
Marcus, I have talked to so many people who, when they found out, a lot of adults, they're still hurting. When they found out, they said, when my mother found out, the stepfather, whoever, the mm-hmm. father was doing this to me, they blamed it on me. I know she's kind of unique. She's not blaming it on the child, and she's kind of protecting the child. But at the same time, if that was me, but isn't that kind of like betraying the child? That child is not going to forget that. That child still knows. Mom went back to that man that, he did something to her. That doesn't change.
I agree. But here's the thing. Number one, she can't stay bitter and resentful, and she's not. And now she's trying to figure out what to do. And you know what? I think people need to make their own decisions when it comes to this. The easy answer is to say, and I think she reminded me, she did call a year ago, And I told her, look, don't do it. Like, do not go back. Don't do it. And Sam, who's here, who's my co-host for the day, he used to work in a sex offender unit, you know, in law enforcement. And he could tell you, I mean, there's some gruesome things that go on, some dark, dark things. I mean, what do you think, Sam, about that situation?
Well, no, I think that in that particular situation, one of the things that is disturbing is that for you, that's particularly something you wouldn't want to do. And for you, it's saying that's your limit. Everyone has a different limit on what they can accept and what they will handle. And I think when I was in that unit for some time, I had to walk out of that unit because certain cases got to me and certain cases did not. And after a while, I started to get numb to that. And you realize there is a victim, but also it's a sickness as well. And you can look at it as the sickness being as taking drugs. You may say, if I have a family member, that's so common that uses drugs and you're trying to get them to help. So we can see that. We can fathom that. But when it comes to a sexual predator and it's within your midst, in your family, be it your son, be it your grandfather, whomever it is, it's still that same love you have to give to them, to provide for them, to give them the help that's needed. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're basically saying we're limiting or separating and saying, I will accept these things, but I won't accept that. Mm-hmm. And you have to realize that Jesus accepted all of it. And he said, I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to help you to forgive. I'm forgiving you as well. So I know that I appreciate your response to it. That's the basic response. But we will treat it like leprosy. I don't want to deal with that. Cut it off. Shun them. Be done with it. And for that type of group or population, they still need to be loved. They still need to get the help. And they still need to, like you said, not to be naive in a sense, be protective as well, but they have to do their part as well.
Yeah. And you know, something really intense. I have a good friend of mine who his father, he witnessed as a young man, he witnessed his father molest his sister. And now he's a married man. And there was a time where he moved his father into his house, but he would never, ever trust his father with his daughter. I mean, so there's such a thing as forgiveness, but a lot of times people say forgive and forget. No, you don't forget something like this. You got to be wise. And something I love, my wife says this a lot. She's like, honey, I trust you. I don't trust the devil. And you can't, it's not a matter of, okay, do you trust me? Do you not trust me? I don't trust the devil. And you don't want to put someone in a compromising or very tempting situation, just like you wouldn't trust an alcoholic to work at a bar. I mean, you just wouldn't do it. Sam just mentioned someone who's addicted to drugs. You wouldn't put them in charge of the narcotics unit, you know, at your department. No. I mean, you just wouldn't do that. And I think it's going to take truly the power of God to work out that situation. But I think she sounds like she's going in the right direction. It was really encouraging. It is conflicting, and it is challenging. And like you said, to be honest with you, it is difficult to even swallow, isn't it, Dee?
Marcus.
But you got to give it to her. I mean, she's really trying to heal through all this. I mean, how devastating it is. And even the fact that she shared that she had no clue, no one knew that this was an issue and a struggle. And then all of a sudden you find this out. And she was radical. She was indignant. But I think, you know, we forget that this is a spiritual battle and we need to say a lot of prayers for couples who are going through challenges like these, who are complex. All right?
Marcus.
You're still talking.
No, I hear what you're saying. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying.
Go ahead. Well, we hear you. We hear you.
I have run into a lot of adults who have been molested as children.
Mm-hmm.
I have had my own experience with other children, not adults. That's a whole other issue. But, Marcus, I'm not saying that he cannot be healed and that God cannot forgive him and that he doesn't need his own healing process. As I understand that, and I recognize that. Hurt mm-hmm. people hurt other people.
Sure.
He probably was molested himself. I understand that.
We don't know. Right?
But my thing is when you are the child that has been hurt like that and then your parents go back to the child, that's a whole other issue. I have dealt with people who they felt betrayed by their parents by not getting rid of the spouse. I'm not saying he can't be healed. I hope he is healed. I hope he is changed. But at the same time, she's still that child's mother and she don't need that man that dog on bed to betray that child.
But
he committed adultery.
Right.
I got you.
He should. I hope he is healed. But
that thing is still going to be between her and her daughter.
Absolutely. And she understands that.
You don't need that man that bad. Yes, it is her decision. But what if he turned around and did that to another child because he has an issue?
But let me ask you this. So, whether she's married to him or not, wouldn't he, if he's going to do it again, would he do it again? I think in this case.
But it don't have to be their problem, and that's why he needs prayer.
You're right.
But that doesn't have to be her husband because that is still going to be between her and that daughter.
I hear you.
It's going to be an odd, always.
Look, I hear you. Let me tell you, I don't have a lot of sympathy for sin in that way, for sex offenders and child molesters. I really don't. And I think that what we need to do, though, is we need to trust that God works in people's lives in different ways. However, like I said before, and I think you're saying the same thing, is you can't be naive. I also can't, but I can't show her. I know what I would do, but I can tell you this. I know, but listen to this. I can't preach something that's not biblical. Like, I can't tell. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that she must leave her husband because of this. I think she's taking the precautions and she's sobered about it. She's not naive. I think it was different if she was like, oh, he's different. I trust him and we're all going to live happily ever after under the same roof. I would have been like, you're crazy. No way. But that's not what she's saying. She's saying this is hard. This is shameful. But they're working through it. And honestly, we don't know what God will do through this and why he even allows these type of things to happen. But we just got to pray for healing, especially for the daughter. And I hear you. And you're right about this.
Can I leave D with one thing?
Come on, D.
D. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And the thing is, I want to focus on that, is a power of love. And my thing is, D, you have to realize that for you, that is your limit. That's something you personally cannot tolerate. And that's fine. And I think that's within your standards. That's great. But I think someone else, you got to look at what we can bear. The other person could probably bear a little bit more. So I just want to leave with that, D, okay?
And thank you. Thank you for calling and sharing that those sentiments. I mean, that's great. It's great that you're able to share this with us.
Thank you.
All right, Dee. Have a blessed day. Enjoy Thanksgiving weekend.
All right.
All right, you too. All right, don't touch that dial. Don't you dare touch that dial. We'll be right back after this. Here on Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back to our final segment here today on Marriage Beyond the Vows. And we're talking about beyond the gratitude. What are you most grateful for during this time of year? My co-host here for the day is Sam Dowling.
Hello.
And we're having a great, deep conversation. We've had many, many callers who've called in during challenging times, what they're grateful for. And I tell you, it is amazing to know that even during difficulties, we are able to give thanks to God for many, many things. We're going to go ahead and go straight to the phone lines. Many of you have been calling in. If you're getting a busy signal, keep trying. We want to hear from you. Just a ton of calls are coming in, and I want to say thank you to those who are holding because we will be right with you. We're going, first of all, to Minorma, who's calling in on line one from the North Philadelphia area. Good morning, Minorma. You're live in the air with praise.
Good morning to you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Did you have a good one? I did.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, look, we had such a good time. We're here on the air talking about what we're most thankful for.
You know, my phone might be dying, but I'm going to really hit it on the nail.
Okay. Go for it.
I was a victim of rape at a young age also. It really messed up my whole life. But I kept holding on and praying to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I married a guy then after that. Years went by. I married this man. He had beat on me. I had 2 children from him.
Okay. Wow.
And God gave me blew a spirit of strength for me to pick up with my daughters and get out before it would be too late. And I put it in God. I love this man so much, honestly. But God comes first in anything.
Absolutely.
You know,
and you have to protect your family.
And what I'm trying to say to people that are women or people that are going through things like that, there is still hope. And as long as you hang on to that hope, let me tell you something. You're going to have a strong spirit because this world is getting worse and our spirits have to be able to tolerate.
And Minorma, how do you keep that tenacity that you sound like? It's infectious. I mean, I hear it. You were raped. You've had an abusive relationship. You took your kids. You walked out and you don't sound bitter.
I was bitter. I was very bitter. But I pray to the Lord, guide me, God. I don't know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And I have children, and I don't want to do the wrong thing. That's what kept me going. And the Lord put good people in my path. And I still go to therapy. I'm 57 years old now. Mm-hmm. I still keep going to therapy. I do recommend, go to therapy. You have to get it out. That bitterness, that negativity, that darkness, that has to come out.
Yeah, you're preaching it, and I think you're preaching it from experience because, it, like I mentioned earlier, again, I don't know who said this, but it's deep. It's bitterness is the poison you drink hoping that it will kill someone else. And you can't live with it. You can't function with bitterness in your heart.
No.
I have a scripture I want to share with you, Minorma. Can I share this with you? It says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That God gives us what we need. I love that. You know, and sometimes we can struggle, and we were talking earlier in the program about Black Friday and how people are out there just trying to get stuff. And, you know, we're not against shopping or having a good holiday, but it seems like people are focused so much, or I would say consumed so much with what they want that
they
forget.
Because they're materialistic. Excuse me that I interfered. They're so materialistic. I wonder if they would run like that to church.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine there would be lines like that around the corner? The only time I've seen lines like that around the church is when they're giving something free.
It's just a shame.
Absolutely.
It's a shame.
Absolutely. Well, Minorma, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling us. You have a blessed day.
You too. Take care.
All righty. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You're just tuning in. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. And we're talking about Beyond the Gratitude. What are you grateful for? Give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're going to talk to Robert, who's calling in from North Carolina on line 3. Good morning, Robert. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, man of God. How are you?
I'm great. And you know what? I have so much to be thankful for, especially during this time of year. And when I hear these calls, I know it seems like everyone's going through a hard time, but the difference is some people have a spiritual perspective and others seem to be blinded by what the devil wants them to see.
This is true. A lot of it is so deeply embedded in us that we just want some self-gratification. We're not very focused on what God has to say for our life, and that's a snare and a trap that the enemy sets for us. So,
absolutely. So what's going on, my brother?
Man, I've been listening to your show, man, and I have so many comments about many things that I heard, but I think the thing before, if it's okay, because I know you guys are pressed for time, but if it's okay, I would like to comment I think her name was D.
You're talking about the woman that talked about there's no way how she would ever forgive someone if that had happened to her, if she was married to the husband that tried to molest the daughter?
Yeah. I understand how she feels. I'm a father of 9 children. 6 of them are girls. So I understand that perspective. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I've come to notice is that I wasn't very big on forgiveness until I was the one who was in need of it.
Wow.
You know, when it was other people, you know, Jesus said, how can you love me whom you've never seen? But you can't love your brother and sister who you see every day. Now, I understand those circumstances, but, you know, people do change. You know, I'm a person who's been incarcerated a few times. Wow. I've been delivered from that. I haven't been incarcerated since 1995. I also had a 23-year addiction with drugs and alcohol, but I've been clean going on 26 years. You know, I'm also, you know, a former womanizer, you know, and I've been single, you know, for the last 2 years. And, you know, I just want Dee to understand, you know, that even though that situation is severe, you know, and her whole focus was that the parent was betraying the daughter, and I could see her point. Also, I thought that it was also a good opportunity to teach the daughter what it is to forgive. So it ain't my call because it's not my child, and everyone's relationship with Christ is different, you know. But while I was listening to her, I thought about the lady who was caught, you know, in the act of adultery. And when they came to condemn her and stone her, you know, Jesus said, let the first one without sin throw the first stone. And, you know, once that was done, nobody really had anything to say. And I just have two particular scriptures I would like to leave.
Well, before you do that, I do want to have a brief conversation on that, because you have a pretty intense background there, and then you're saying you're single now. I mean, what happened? I mean, were you married all those years when you were going through the addiction and the womanizing and being incarcerated? I mean, what happened to your relationship? Because you're obviously single now. I mean, did you have a wife, or did you have multiple relationships that ended during that time? I mean, share a little bit about that, please.
Okay. Well, I know you talk to a lot of people. I happened to call you guys, and I got through back in about June. I was the gentleman who told you my wife had went to work one day and never came home.
I got you. Okay.
And, you know, as a result of that, you know, I've had plenty of time to pray and talk to God and ask him, you know, what part did I play in that? And he showed me where I had became verbally abusive and emotionally abusive. I come from that. My father was physically, verbally, and emotionally abusive. I was beat with objects. Man, I don't even want to mention, you know, I was abused verbally and emotionally, you know, by my father. And I thought I had dealt with it through counseling, you know, and I may have tapped into it, but I hadn't rid myself of it completely. And so, you know, as a result of that, I began to become my father. You know, I was verbally abusive to my wife, and emotionally I was not available. I was not indulging in the Word of God like I was supposed to. You know, had I been being the covering that I was supposed to be, you know, she may not have left.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I do, like I said, I asked you that question. I wanted to talk more about it. I think there is a cycle. Something very profound that I believe is true, and it's especially with those who grew up a certain way, and especially a reflection of our fathers or the lack of fatherhood in our lives. We're either going to be more like our fathers here on earth or more like our fathers in heaven. And it's not until, I mean, I've known people, and I've done this myself. There are things we've resented. Probably everyone at some point has resented something that they've seen in their father, at least one thing. And we would vow, okay, we would never do that. And then we would end up seeing us following those same patterns. And the only hope is that we have Christ in our lives, because without Christ, we're doomed to be who we're kind of destined to be, that womanizer, that drug addict. I mean, these are things that are cycles that we could only break by the grace of God. But it takes humility. It takes honesty to say, listen, I have this issue. This is who I am. And I tell you, I'm sobered. I know I won't be a good husband. I cannot be a good husband without my relationship with God. Amen. I'm just not that good. I won't be a good father. I'm not a good friend if it were not for my relationship with God. It's only because of that that I can be a trustworthy friend.
Amen.
And that is absolutely the truth. And, you know, I don't know if this was one of the scriptures you were thinking of sharing, but, you know, I love this passage in Matthew 18, and it's a parable of the unmerciful servant, where, you know, you had the one that just, there are two debts that had to be paid. One had an astronomical debt.
Right.
And it was forgiven, and the other one had a small debt.
Right.
And it's almost like, what's going on? You know, it's an amazing passage, but I love the part there where it just talks about that, you know, if you've been forgiven much, you really should love much. But some people don't see that.
Right.
And it's called being self-righteous.
Right.
And I'm not trying to single out D. You just mentioned that. It is hard. I just don't know what I would do in that situation. But I'm so grateful that I know what God would do in that situation. And God does forgive.
Amen.
And that's who he is. And we got to take that up with him, yeah, not with us. Now, does that mean you take your wife or husband back after certain things? No, I think there are some things that God knows that some people cannot handle. And that's why if there's infidelity, if there's abuse, there are ways you can walk out of that marriage.
Right.
I think it's a last resort, knowing that, you know, some people just can't live that way. You know, if you're being abused, you don't have to stay in that relationship. Now, that might mean you move on and never marry again, but you don't have to stay married. And so for some people, it's better to be alone than to be in an abusive relationship. So really quickly, Robert, you wanted to share a couple of passages. I want to do this quickly because I do have some people on the line I want to get to.
Yeah, well, the first one comes out of 2 Timothy, the second chapter, where God tells us about how to endure hardship and what it is he expects from us. Real quick,
that's great.
Says that we are to be good soldiers.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that. 2 Timothy 4.
Yeah. And the other scripture I wanted to share is Revelations 21:7, where God says that he that overcome all things shall inherit the earth, and he shall be his son, and he will be our God.
Wow. I love that. That's very encouraging.
Yeah.
Robert, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in.
Praise report, if you don't mind.
All right, it has to be quick, though, because I'm looking at the lines there, and they're lighting up, and some people are really trying to get through.
Okay. When I talked to you in June, I had shared with you, you know, about that situation with my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to also share with your listeners that God is a restorer. My marriage has been restored. My wife has returned back home, and we're seeking counseling, and we're trying to save our marriage, because God said what he put together, let no man put it under. So I want to give God the glory for that, because after 2 years of not knowing if she was alive or where she was, God had seen fit to smile on me and restore my marriage and bring my wife home, and that's what I'm most grateful for this holiday. So thank you so much for your time. Brother Sam, I like what you had to say about that situation. I love you guys. So,
oh, my goodness. Robert, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that inspiration. We'll be praying for you and your wife, Robert. What's your wife's name?
Denise.
I mean, that's phenomenal. I'm praying that God would truly bring healing. And like you said, it's no man put asunder.
Yeah.
All right. All right, man. Love you, my brother. Thank you so much for your call.
God bless you, man.
Thank you, too.
Have a great day.
God bless
Same
you.
Same to you.
All right.
Take care. All right, well, let's continue on our conversation here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, talking about Beyond the Gratitude. If you've not done this already, we invite you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're going to go to another anonymous caller. We've had a few of these today, and this one is coming from Pennsylvania here on line two, and they want a little bit of feedback or some feedback on their current situation. Good morning, caller. You're live on the air with Praise.
I will give honor to God for my life, my job, my home, mm-hmm. those things. But I was married to a gentleman for almost 5 years. I've been with him 14 years.
Wow.
He had a drug addiction problem, and I was very supportive of him through the years.
Okay.
But this very last time, I travel for a living. I'm not going to tell you what I do, but I'll tell you I travel for a living.
Okay.
To make a long story short, I waited for my husband to pick me up from work, and he never showed up. So I'm sitting at the station waiting and waiting, and he never shows up. And he finally calls and tells me that the car had a flat, so therefore he couldn't pick me up at the normal time.
Okay.
So I accepted that. So 3 hours passed, and I said, it doesn't take 3 hours to change a flat. So something says, go home, get a cab and go home.
Mm-hmm.
I did just that. Then I get home, and my door to my home is ajar.
Okay.
So I said, thank God I live where I live, because someone could have come and robbed my house. I have a very nice house.
Okay.
Okay. Then something says, go upstairs, look for your camera. Nikon camera is gone. Something says, go to your office, look for your TV.
Mm.
Brand new TV, never taken out the box. Something says, go to your daughter's room and check her doll collection.
Okay, so valuables were missing from the house.
From my own husband.
So he took your stuff. He took your stuff.
My husband has a drug problem, a serious drug problem. I've tried to go to counseling with him. I've tried to support him. I mean, even when he got depressed and wouldn't get a job, I make enough money to take care of both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't a problem. Because when he did get his job doing carpentry work or whatever, he made plenty of money. Because I control the money.
Okay.
But I'll make a long story short is, I've been with this man for 14 years. I've dealt with this drug abuse, trying to go to counseling, trying to listen to these people call this drug addiction a disease. Okay, this is my opinion, and this is how I feel. And I don't think no one can heal me now because my heart is hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to forgive him. I can no longer fight a drug. It's different when you fight a woman, for woman to woman, but you can't fight a drug. This drug has consumed him. He has taken diamond rings, watches, everything.
I got you.
I have no more mercy. He has just wrote me a letter. Yesterday I received a letter from Florida telling me, forgive him. Don't go remarry. Don't go date another man. He's going to change. How do you forgive? How do you forgive when you have no more tears in your eyes?
Okay.
I can't even cry anymore because my heart is hurting. My heart is so heavy. All I can do is get angry, more angry.
And it's obvious.
Then
how do you heal?
Let
me help you. You called us, so I want to give you some input there. I think number one, you need to be able to separate a couple of things. You got to separate the hurt that you feel and the anger that you feel. It shouldn't just be towards your husband. I mean, your husband is a drug addict. Your husband is enslaved. If anything, you should feel pity. You should feel sorrow for him. And if you heal the proper way, you'll get to that point, and then you'll get to a point where you're just grateful that God has spared you from so many things and would allow you not to be self-righteous, but to realize, you know, drug addiction, is it a disease? Well, yes and no. I mean, the Bible calls it sin, but there are things that are uncontrolled. Like, there are some things that he can't heal. However, if we just say it's a disease by itself, then it's like, it's like he caught a cold or something. No, these are consequences to his sin. He decided at some point, I don't know when and what drug, but he made some choices, some very bad choices, and now he's suffering the consequences. However, I think the goal for you is for you to protect your heart and for you to heal. Because you know what it means to be codependent?
Excuse me?
Do you know what it means to be codependent?
I've heard that term used, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, when you're codependent, there's a cycle. And you go from what you're doing right now, you're in the victim cycle. So you're a victim. Then you become a persecutor, which you're going from victim to persecutor. And now you're persecuting. You want them out. You want them to pay. You want them to hurt. And so you become persecutor. And then all of a sudden, part of that cycle is you become a rescuer. And you go on and on again. So then he feels really bad. And so you feel like maybe you can help him. So you try to rescue him. You move him back in. You give him money. You help him. But then you feel like a victim again because he takes you for granted. And then you get angry and you become a persecutor. And then it goes on and on and on and on and on. And the reality is you can't break that cycle until you make a decision to take yourself out of that equation. And there's a great book. I don't know if you've read this or heard of this book before. It's called Boundaries. It's written by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And I want to encourage you, if you've not done it, pick up that book. It's very biblical, but it's very balanced. It would help you to deal with situations like this, because you shouldn't take your husband back if he has not changed, but you also shouldn't be bitter, because you've allowed him, after all these years, to be in a position where he can hurt you that way. You've allowed that. Because if you know he's a drug addict, why would you let him be around your valuable possessions? I mean, that just, you know, common sense would tell you, a drug addict, anything he can pick up and sell, you don't want them in the same room. And you need some boundaries in your life to guard from him being able to hurt you this way.
Okay, well, I'll say this, and I'll leave it at this. If you knew the man without the drug, mm-hmm. this man is he's an awesome man. He's a genius. He's a walking book. He's okay. a musician. He's a singer. I mean, this man could sweep any woman off her feet.
Okay.
I'm telling you, he's a gentleman. He treats you the old ways that the men used to treat women 50 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, without that drug, any woman will want. That man could have any woman he wants.
Okay.
That's why I dealt with it, and I thought I could help him and change him. But you know something? You can't change a grown man, and you're right. I enabled him, so I understand. But you know what? He's never coming back.
Okay.
And I won't probably never date again. But that's neither here nor there. But you know something? You're right. I enabled him.
Yeah.
You're right.
You did. You did. And you know what? I want to leave you with a passage here. James chapter 4:17. It says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. You need to figure out what is going to help you to have these boundaries of not sinning or not doing the things you know. It's not so much about taking him back or not. I think if you don't take him back, that's on you. But you can't allow your heart to get bitter. And you're bitter right now. You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
So get rid of that bitterness. And you know what? Time apart is actually good. Will you ever remarry or not? We don't know. But I tell you what, work on your bitterness. I think if you do pick up that book, Boundaries, it would help you. I highly recommend it. It's a great read, especially for a situation like yours where your husband is addicted to drugs, but you haven't really set those boundaries yourself. All right. Well, mm-hmm. Thank you so much. We do appreciate you calling.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's continue on here. We're going to line 4, where Vince is calling from New Jersey, and he has a comment on what he is thankful for. Vince, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing very great. Thank you, Vincent. You're live on the air right now.
Oh, great. I want you to know I'm really enjoying this show.
Thank you. Some deep comments people are calling about, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Very, very. And, I mean, it leads me to what you said earlier, this Thanksgiving, and why am I so thankful? And I'm thankful for God. I was blessed this Sunday with the Sons of Aaron at Bethel AME, mm-hmm. and I was blessed with the ability to read the epistles, and it was from Colossians mm-hmm. chapter 1, verse 11, in which he talks about the reason to be thankful. And to me, the reason to be thankful is God. I find no better reason to be thankful during this holiday season. Because this holiday season, when we are thankful or we pursue happiness in other ways, it's a trap by Satan.
Yeah.
People go into extreme amounts of debt for Christmas, for the perfect present, and man cannot be perfect.
Let me ask you this question, because it came up in our conversation earlier. What about this Black Friday like phenomenon where people now, it's not even Friday, now it's even Thursday evening, people are lining up. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think all of it is part of the pagan festival of Christmas and the actual holiday itself. And the holiday is man-made. So man tends to change from, you know, day to day, from east to west to north to south. Black mm-hmm. Friday, Black Thursday, Cyber Monday, Small Business Tuesday. It all is marketing.
Sure.
But the word of God is the same yesterday, the same today, and it'll be the same tomorrow. That's why I'm thankful for the Word of God.
Yes.
What this holiday does, and I find with a lot of people, is that it gets them into what I call the Jonah experience.
Mm-hmm. They're running.
Where
running.
God has called you to do something, but mm-hmm. you turn it into something else. So now God has you at hitting bottom. that bottom may be dealing with somebody with drugs. That bottom may be doing everything to make someone happy, and you can't. That bottom may be being in a 26-bedroom, you know, 14 full bathroom mansion, and you're the only one. That bottom could be anything.
Sure.
But when he has you there for a purpose. To find out what's truly important.
Amen. Amen. Well, Vince, thank you so much for calling and making those comments there, especially about being thankful. There's so much. Even in the midst of hardship, it could just be God has you there so you can look up.
Exactly.
Look to him.
And what you're looking at is what I find three important things: faith, your belief, how you hold to God.
All right. Vince, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you calling us this morning. Thank you so much. All right, but before we go, I want to invite, I think we have a few minutes left here. I want to invite a good friend of ours calling in, George James, who's actually a marriage and family therapist. George, how are you?
I'm all right, Marcus. How are you?
I'm good. I know you were trying to get through, and there are many people been calling in. I tell you, we've been talking about gratitude, but we've had some really, really heavy calls, you know, people calling in with issues of abuse and spouses who are addicted to drugs and even sex abuse and all that kind of really, really crazy stuff. And yet some people seem to be really thankful in spite of that, and others seem to just see darkness. What do you say is the key to stay faithful and stay positive no matter what's going on in your life?
Yeah, you know, the thing about this time is that it brings up a lot of things for many people. You know, it just seems, you know, even within my family and lots of families that I work with, that people have experienced either loss or they have experienced difficult pain. And so some of it is being able, can you get your mind and your emotions to focus on those things that are thankful? You know, even in reading the word, sometimes if you don't read the word, if you don't reflect on the word, if you don't meditate on the word, then you don't keep the word with you. And the same thing happens with our thoughts and our emotions. The things that we think about, the things that we reflect on, those are the things that stay with us. And so sometimes the abuse, the negativity, and those horrible things do happen. And we think about that, and we see that as everybody. And we see everyone in that light. We see everyone in a negative way. And then we treat people in a negative way, or we find ourselves in a negative mood. So some of it, I would say, is that sometimes we have to be able to force ourselves to think about what has God still given us? What are the things that we can still think about that are positive, that are good, that are, you know, as Bob says, of a good report? That also now starts to impact how we feel and what we do.
Yeah. And you know, George, we were talking to Sam, who's here, who's co-hosting with me today, and I was just saying that he himself has been able to find the secret of being content through hard times, being hurt from work. And I mean, I've been his friend for many years. So George, you know us both. And you know, it's interesting how two people can be in the very same situation and both see it differently. Sometimes ourselves, we can be in kind of facing the same challenge. And one day we're very positive and faithful. The other day we're very depressed and struggling. And yet we know because of God's word that there's so much more to life than what we can see at the moment. So, Sam, I just wanted you to share quickly the secrets you've learned to stay content. Are you content?
No, I am content. I am content. I think during that a period of time in my life, I would say the dark side, being hurt in a job, being out of work. I loved my job. I love the thrill. I love the excitement of law enforcement, running and doing everything else. And then finding out that you can no longer do that or one aspect of the job. So being stable or being at home for a period of time, just kind of reflecting, I started to realize that I could not became real bitter, started to have grudges, started to just become you know, bitter. And I guess the contentment or the fun, not the fun, but the thing that helped me the most was having great people in your life. You can't do anything without that, because even when you're so bitter and you don't even want to pick up your Bible, you don't want to read, you don't want to pray, you seem so depressed, then it gets down to a point where's your support system? And I think letting go of bitterness, grudges, can make way for compassion, kindness, and peace. And having a great support system for me, found that out. And then realizing, you know what, baby steps. Take that one step at a time. Get back into your word. Get back into being active. I knew my life at that point was low, and I was looking forward to getting the carpet cleaner delivered to my house so I can clean my carpets. And I realized, you know what? I can't do this. And I think that was the time that you came in.
The real thing I was saying is one time, I think it was a year ago, it was Sam's, it was my birthday. And
oh, yeah.
I gave Sam a gift to cheer him up. I mean, it was that bad. I am giving him a gift. So now that it's my birthday, I'm expecting a double gift from him.
Sure. I'm here. That's your gift.
But George,
we
have just a few seconds left. Any last words for people to focus on, especially as the focus seems this year to shift so much more even on shopping? What is some one thing that could be a takeaway that some people can do to make sure they remain focused and content during this time of year?
One of the big things I tell my clients and I try to practice myself is self-care. That we sometimes get into these ruts, these bad places, negative places, because we stop taking care of ourselves. And self-care can mean lots of different things. Self-care could mean you go for a walk or run, you spend time with the family, you shop on a budget, whatever it is that you do, things that take care of yourself, that allows you to feel good even in when times are rough.
Wow, that's great. Great advice. Well, George, thank you so much. Sam, appreciate you co-hosting today. And fortunately, this is the end of the show for today, but we will be back next week. We do encourage you, if you have not done so already, go ahead and visit us on Facebook.com, Marriage Beyond the Vows, and stay connected with us during the week. Also, you can visit our websites, PraisePhilly.com or PraiseCharlotte.com. We'll hear from you, and you'll hear from us next week, same time, Saturday at 8 a.m. Have a blessed and peaceful and positive holiday. God bless.